This episode of Bitch Sesh is dedicated to the memory of Greg Leakes. We love you, Greg. Rest in peace.
Hi, Danielle.
Hi, Casey.
Wow, wow, wow.
What a week. I mean,
what a time to be alive. Oh, I didn't mean to say that.
This is awkward.
It is, because
part of the housewives.
We had just agreed, yes, of course, we're dedicating the episode to Greg Leakes.
Who we love, and what a celebration of life. I went to Nene's Instagram, and I saw, you know, the celebration of him. It seemed like he went so quickly. I mean, I know he had been suffering from cancer for a long time, and he was in remission and then went back, but I don't know. It just felt like so quick, but I'm glad he's out of pain and I'm glad she's out of pain. I think it's sad. That's
it's
all.
It's so sad. It hit me hard. I feel like it hit all of us hard. This man, there's so few decent, lovely, warm
house husbands.
Yes. I mean, I'm trying to like put together a couple names. I'm coming up with like Mauricio and just decent, nice, kind husbands, and Greg has been with us for so long.
And he's always had Nene's back, except for obviously there were times when he didn't and he spoke badly of her. And I remember her saying, "You did me wrong, Greg Leakes." Like, remember when she was mad at him? Like, but then they came back together and they were a couple for the ages.
And remember the trip they were on and Greg wrote that beautiful letter to her.
Yeah.
Like I just love Greg. He was such an amazing presence on the show. And I just feel like he was in all of our lives for a long time, and I was so saddened by that news.
But there was a beautiful celebration of his life at the Lanithia Lounge. If you can go on Nene's stories, everyone showed up. It was like a who's who. It was Portia. It was Phaedra. It was Kim and Croy was a shock. Did not think I'd see them.
Because everybody loves Greg.
Yeah. Everybody came out. Marlo. We really got to see. And Nene looked amazing. There were a lot of shots of Nene. And again, everybody mourns in their own different ways. And she looked beautiful. And I get it. She was like, I'm celebrating his life. I'm not going to like get down in the jumps. And she has been. She sent those videos of her and Greg dancing on her Instagram. Like, I was like crying. But anyway, I'm glad that they all celebrated him in a way that felt nice and felt special, and everyone came together for him, and it's such a tribute to who he was. So we love you, Greg. And
we love you, Greg. And again, sorry I opened by saying it, what a time to be alive.
Well, but there are
but it's also what a time to be dead.
To be, we do have so much in front of us, though. And how are you doing, Casey, otherwise?
Danielle, I'm doing well. I'm just going to say one fact. I don't know how to say this to everyone, but you know about my rat.
Yes, and someone even started in a Twitter, I've heard, that's Casey Wilson's rat. Did you hear
that? Someone sent me a screen grab.
I think Matt McConkey sent us a screen grab that someone had started, and I appreciate that.
I'm sure that rat will have more followers than me in a matter of moments.
Oh, already has more followers than me, for sure.
Absolutely. That rat is doing a content shoot downstairs with Clayton right now. But
yeah,
that really killed me. But, you know, we had the rat. The rat, as we know, is vacated. And I got a lot of you writing in about the rat. One woman told me a rat can get into anything the size of a quarter. That was hard to hear. I heard a lot about what's going on.
You know what's the size of a quarter?
What?
Vagina hole in your butthole. What?
Just size of a dime.
Oh, well, for me, we're all different sizes.
My God.
My buttholes open up over the last 2 years.
Oh, I know yours has. I had one time. Oh, God, I don't even know if I can talk about this, but there was a gentleman way, 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 way back in my past.
Uh-huh.
That I had some relations with. Yeah. Much like a Harry Dubin, a couple of other gals ended up over, the next 15 years.
Oh.
We all touched down on this. And all to say, we felt our vaginas were more of a, you know, dime size in that time. Now, I mean, the gaping hole. But he had genitals. Okay. His penis, Danielle, I'm not kidding, was the size, the width of a Coke can.
No!
Maybe that's small. Like, maybe some of you that's out there huge. Are like, oh.
That's like a Coke can? A regular
like
size?
Like a can of Coke.
That's a big ding dong.
I had one girlfriend who had to go to the doctor to try, and I couldn't believe she took herself to the OBGYN to ask for, like, tips, and said that it got back so far back there that it hurt so bad. Wow. And he said he'd had this problem before with it's just hard to get it in there.
Holy shit.
Anyone else suffering from
that? Anyone ever gone to the doctor and said, my husband's dick or my boyfriend's dick is so big, it's so the size big. Of a Coke can? You have.
Now it would be like rattling around.
Oh, it'd be in an echo chamber.
I don't know if I should have told that, but whatever.
That's a great story. I'm keeping it in for sure.
All I wanted to say to you, Danielle, is I'll give you this, present you with this fact, and you decide if it's related to the rat, if it's not related to the rat, because I don't know. But mm-hmm. all I can tell you, Danielle Schneider, mm-hmm. I've lived in my current home for 2.5 years. I renovated it for 1.5 years, okay? Mm-hmm. And I've put an offer on a new home.
What?
You heard me.
What, Casey?
Today.
Today?
You heard me.
This rat has chased you out of your house and home?
I'm not saying it's about the rat. My husband has said to me 1,000 times, he's like, this isn't about the rat, right? Like, we cannot move over a rat. Like, this cannot be about the rat. I'm like, no, my God, no. We weren't even looking for a house. We saw this one listing. We think it's a huge opportunity, blah, 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 blah. But in my head, when I lay my head upon the pillow, we have to wonder, I think it's about the rat.
I can't believe that you have let the rat win.
So many of you wrote and said one word, move.
No! Casey, if I moved every time a creature appeared its little head in my house, I'd have moved.
Your husband's Coke can.
My husband's Coke can dick tried to sneak its
way appear his head in your house?
Into my quarter-sized vagina. I wouldn't have anywhere to live.
I know. And I know that's hard to hear and like really crazy. I know it's really, really crazy. As June Diane said, though, wherever you live during the pandemic, you can double the years. Like, we've lived here for 4 years.
Yes. No, I agree. I moved during the pandemic. We all
had
did.
You seen a rat?
I had not seen a rat. I'd seen mice outside the house, though. Yes. Not inside, though. But I saw them crawling around.
It'll be tough stuff when I renovate the next house and then see another one.
Yeah, that'll be... Mm-hmm. But then there's another move in your future. Wow, Casey. Well, the story came to an end. You'll have to update us.
I'll keep you breathlessly updated. And Danielle, what's going on in your world?
Nothing. The bear disappeared. We have not seen hide or hair of the bear. So I think we smoked him out, if you will. I didn't have to go buy a gun.
So you're not moving. Is that
I'm
what
I'm not
hearing?
Moving. But you know, I'd let that bear just come in and snuggle me in bed tonight. Like, I have no problem.
You're not going anywhere.
I'm not going anywhere. You're going to have to pull me out of this house, my dead body. Yeah. No. Just like the man who lived here before, I plan to die in this house and haunt
it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Really quick, Danielle, something else that happened was so insane and funny. So June and I were in Laguna Beach this weekend, and we were at an outdoor, very sprawling outdoor area with our kids, and we saw a gentleman who was making balloon animals. Mm-hmm. And... you know, we saw our kids run over to him, and I'm thinking they're going to come back with, you know, the normal fare, like a little bunny or like a little doggy or whatever. And the children come back with balloon AK-47s. It was shocking. I'm like, I mean, assault rifles. This man made like red and blue and green assault rifles. They were gargantuan. And I said to my kids, I'm like, I'm sorry, did you ask for these? And they're like, no, we offered. He was like, bunny, unicorn, assault, you know, a gun. Oh. I'm just like, and they all asked for that. So whatever I'm doing over here, it's not working. I'm just like, wow, I guess that's kind of Orange County for you. Like at the end of the day, it's red country. And I guess you have the right to carry, including with balloon animals. So I just found that to be interesting and disturbing.
Oh, Jesus, that's insane.
It's insane. Shall we take a break, Danielle, and we'll come back with our guest?
Beautiful. Love it.
Now, Danielle, it's time to bring in our guest, and we have so much to discuss with him.
So much.
Yes. He was a guest with us long ago because I was in a rental house in Studio City.
Sorry, RIP Studio City for both of us.
I wanted him to see me how I am in Los Feliz, you know, where I really live.
I know. So we got to be in the substitute nook, but I wasn't there when he was last here. So I'm glad I get to not see him in person because we can't see anyone in person anymore. But I'm glad that I get to see him, you know, on the screen.
Absolutely. So please welcome a writer. We have a writer, and not just a writer, Danielle, you know, a writer of the novel.
Yeah, not my bullshit. Beverly Hills Drama 2 and the like.
Danielle, stop putting yourself down, okay? You wrote Two Walks So
I
Three
Could... I wrote Two Walks So Three Could Bark.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right, Danielle. I won't have you putting yourself down. Please welcome back to the podcast, Zachary Sergi.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I feel like I'm the Marlo Hampton of Bitch Sesh. Like, I've been promoted from friend of, and I get to... what would you guys hold if you were... Like a bag of trash as garbage people, like in our opening credits?
Yeah, I think you would be holding probably a bag of trash, or if it was Marlo, like a...
Something like an Hermes scarf. She's always got brands. She's never not with like an empty box, like an Hermes box with nothing in it. Like that. Kind
of or like a very surprising like cutout bathing suit where you're like, oh, Marlo. Yeah.
I was very glad to see that she was at Greg's... I don't want to call it like his service.
Well, it
right?
was called a celebration of life.
Yes, it was his celebration of life. And I was glad to see that she was there paying tribute. Her and Greg seemed to have a nice relationship.
Zachary, let's dive in because we have been off for 2 weeks. We are back.
We are back.
We will be back to doing our, you know, regular weekly episodes to the best of our bills. And, you know, this is, some would say, our new season. To that end, Danielle, I just want to quickly say, Danielle and I are doing a little rebranding of Bitch Sesh, and I know people are reluctant to change. I don't like change.
No.
But we're actually doing a photo shoot coming up. And honestly, if anyone has any concept ideas, just shoot them our way. I'm asking you all because you were such a font and a wealth of information
when I asked
about having a third baby, results of which I'm going to get into next week because it's just so much and people were so amazing. But anyway, if you have concept ideas for Danielle and I's photo shoot for kind of a new image for Bitch Sesh, please let us know. We'd like to move away from the cartoon world.
Yes.
I was going to formally request Giovanni dresses. I don't know how possible that is, but it feels like it would be doing the
It's podcast. Always possible with us. You think I don't have a closet full of them? Please.
I have like 1,000, a trunk full. And we also have a lot of Sonia Morgan.
So many designs.
And not only that, we got our hands, our hot little hands, although I think they were available, on some Sonia Morgan. Morgan Forever, Century 21, not Forever 21.
Oh, she wishes.
Yes, and Century 21 was not forever, in fact.
Unfortunately.
It was a century, about a century, and then, you know,
and then
it went the way.
And then, you know. Yeah. Let's get right into it. All to say, guys, shall we start with Beverly Hills,
yeah,
which is just, we're all fresh on the heels of, and then we'll get into Potomac.
Yes.
And then, of course, the New York reunion is being filmed tomorrow, or when this comes out, the Beverly Hills reunion is being filmed. Don't you feel that energy in the air of them being filmed?
Yeah, I do. I can feel the women.
I saw that you two talked to Salt Lake City preview, and I just, before we get into Beverly Hills, wanted to ask who you both think the leak is.
I don't think there was a leak. I think, as I said on our live Instagram live, our important piece of reporting,
important,
you know, breaking news segment, was that these people have been watching her. Like, this doesn't happen overnight. It's not like the FBI was doing like important anti, you know, homegrown terrorist work, and then someone's like, hi, this is not Whitney Rose, and I have to report that Jen Shaw, I think, is doing bad stuff. And then they came a running. Like, I think that they were on to her. They've been watching her. They had, you know, they had the day and the time and the plan. They knew everything.
But let me ask this, Danielle. Do you think some sicko, and by sicko, I mean brilliant mind, over in the FBI, did they say, let's do it to her when she's on camera? Was that a factor?
I would hope. I would like to, because I bet half of these women are found out some FBI agent, because all the smartest people in the world watch The Housewives. So that's I believe right. that there is a Housewives, you know, FBI unit specifically. As we know, there were hairdressers involved. There is a specific Housewives FBI unit that just handles them. And they're just watching them to see what's going on, that their finances don't make sense. And then they strike. I believe that there's a unit.
We have so many criminals on our hands and only more to be revealed, yes, you know.
Of course.
That's the truth. I mean, that 2 minutes was, and please go to my Instagram. If you're wondering if I was able to save it, I was, which was hard.
Here's my problem, though. I saved it to my stories, but I couldn't save it to my regular grid as much as I tried. And when I tell you, Casey, how many times I tried.
And it wasn't a question of want.
No, I couldn't. Like, every time I did it, it would be like, okay, it's saving. And then it wouldn't show up. And guys, if I tried. So go to Casey's. Don't go anywhere near mine. I couldn't save it.
Yeah, we rushed to the Instagram Live after that 2 minutes came out. I mean, about 4 minutes later, I'm proud of us, Danielle. We were at the Beeple. We were on the scene of the crime because it was the most thrilling and electric 2 minutes of my life. And were we so thrilled to see Z-Way and Ira Madison III were on with us. We brought them in. It was like when there's a hurricane and frenzied reporters are all running and they're whipping in the wind with their raincoats. And, mm-hmm. and again, not the thank you to those people, I know.
Yes, of course.
Been in the news, but this is much less important. However, it did feel like we were really on the scene, Danielle.
I did feel like we were in the right place at the right time, meaning home. And
doing nothing.
And you got on the phone, said, Danielle, let's hit the mics. And I said, of course, Casey, I have nothing better to do today than this. And so we got right on it. Z-Way and Ira, busy people, important people with big lives. Ira Madison came from Mexico to dial. I mean, he was away. He wasn't even, you know, so for him to be reporting live from another country, like we were all doing our best work.
Because, and I want to hear your thoughts, Zach, because like as much as we heard that the cameras were there, I don't think we actually imagined it was this good.
I agree. I've been thinking hard about it. And I think there's one obvious choice for who the leak could be. And to me, it's Brooks Marks. Like, I think this is his revenge on Jen. Mm-hmm.
His handiwork.
You don't fuck with him or a mother. Brooks Marks' mother, a mother lioness. Is no one to fuck with.
Somehow I've turned on Meredith, like from the end of the show to like its hiatus, a lot of the photos of her and Seth. I don't know why I've soured on her based on not much. I just feel like, believe me, I know Jen Shaw has done terrible things, but something about Meredith's, like the smugness of her in that 2 minutes, I was like, ugh.
Yeah, and she's also done the thing that a lot of housewives do after the first season. We've seen it over and over again, which is they've seen themselves on camera and they look great on camera, but they're not happy.
I like how you're saying camera like Jane Krakowski on 30 Rock. Camera.
Camera.
They're on camera.
They've seen themselves on camera and they're not happy with what they see. So we are seeing some tucks, some lifts, some tanning with Meredith Marks, even, you know, and she always kind of looked like the normal one, if you know, in that cast, the one who hadn't been maybe nipped and tucked as the others hadn't been by Beauty Lab, per se. But she is, this new season, we are seeing it. We are seeing an extra tan, an extra made up, some more face work done.
A lot of nude bodysuits under gaping blazers.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed, mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, she's moving away from the face mask.
That
you're right. I thank you for reminding me of that. Yeah. That was so upsetting. Guys, when Mary was in her testimonial in this 2 minutes and they were like, did you tip off the feds? The look on Mary's face with that hat and everything happening was so delightful. The whole thing from start to finish is electrifying. And I love you said this, Danielle, on the live, which again is on my Instagram, but not to repeat ourselves, but I think only like, you know, the handful of thousands listened to it, but watched it rather. What I will say, Danielle, is you were like on Beverly Hills, people were really like, we're standing by Erica. Like we don't let go of our friends.
No, Akilah said that. And I just quoted her. I don't want to take what Akilah said, but Akilah had pointed out that yes, that in Beverly Hills, they sort of stood by Erica. They turned on Jen Shaw in 2 flashes.
Like on the bus.
Yes. It took minutes, seconds.
I feel like she was already on the outs, though. Like, she was on her way out of the good graces, and this was just, like, that no one's going to be showing up in her corner. But she will also deliver the ratings for them, so they can't oust her too much, because she's going to be front and center, so.
Yes, she is front and center.
Well, she bought herself another season with this whole scandal.
Until she inevitably goes to prison. allegedly.
Question. We've never had this. You know, sometimes when you watch, like, and not like 60 Minutes or kind of like a crime television show, they have someone like dressed normally. And so you're like, did they do it? Did they not do it? Are they home? And then you come to realize they're actually being filmed in prison. I'd love to keep her as a satellite cast member.
Mm.
I don't think we've ever had a testimonial from prison. I would like that flavor.
We have not been allowed behind the doors.
I want to hear from her. I want to hear from Keith Raniere. These are the, you know, I want to hear from the Theranos woman. I need these things.
You know, she has gone on trial this week. P.S.
Yes.
And so I'm listening to the new Dropout podcast they have of the trial and the jury and all that. And that's fascinating.
A very nice fan of mine, Jimmy, a man who has labeled himself president of my fan club for several years running. A very nice guy. Emailed me that. And I couldn't believe I didn't know that the trial was happening.
Oh, yes. I'm very invested.
So that was important.
Yeah.
Very invested.
Lots of people on trial right now. Lots of our favorites.
I will say that Salt Lake City trailer gave me and probably us more to talk about than New York in like two minutes.
We saw, what, 2 minutes? And 2 minutes. It's been it's all I can think about. I wake up in a cold sweat being like, those braids. Like, it's just.
Those box braids. It was like when Judi Dench won her Oscar in 1 minute of screen time. That's all we needed from Salt Lake. So that's next week. So this is big. So, yeah. You know, everybody just get eyes on it right in real time so we can all kind of be together. Together, I put in quotes because we'll be on Zoom, but we'll all be together when we get really unpack it.
That was a beautiful transition. Thank you. On Beverly Hills.
Indeed.
Oh, God. Zach, where's your head at with Beverly Hills? Last night was explosive.
It was indeed explosive. And I will say, for many, many years, Erica was my favorite housewife. I believe I was wrong in liking her all these years. And until very recently, I believed wholeheartedly in her innocence. And it has all soured for me. I've turned on her very hard. I do not think she's innocent.
Wow. What was the turning point? What was the final straw?
There have been many, and we'll get to this, but when PK becomes our Greek chorus, our like voice of reason.
I've never been more attracted to PK than I was last night, guys.
Guys loved the names he named the dresses. I was like, he's a marketing genius. I'm sorry, the woman, the moment, the pearl? Yes.
When he was naming those dresses, my husband just heard him and he goes, if he were a dress, he'd be named the dumbass.
That's true. It's true.
For two people who, Dorit did not sew a dress. She did not design a dress. She did nothing. And then for them to name them such brilliant titles as the actress and the woman. Mm-hmm. And so self-congratulatory.
The actress.
Like, oh just God. Like, they think they're the hardest working people in Hollywood. And they
the pearl. This one, it's covered with pearls. It's called the pearl.
Truly.
Baba. It looked like she was seeing them on her body for the first time and trying to get a look at them full length on herself. Like, 100%. She couldn't back up enough because it was on her to see it for the first time.
Well, it's like when she sees her children. She's always like, oh my God! Like every time she sees a child or herself in a dress, it's always as if it's the first time.
Don't you feel, and I would probably be like this if someone was filming me mothering, like to me that would be truly my greatest nightmare, like the nightmarish portion of The Housewives. But when she's on screen with her kids, it feels like there's this simmering anxiety under her that's like, oh God, please don't let them do anything that would embarrass me. Like, please, but I'm going to be so breezy. It's just so, like, it makes me so uncomfortable.
She brings a similar energy to her charcuterie game. Like, there's just, like, a level of frantic perfection there.
And I don't believe she put that charcuterie plate together for a second. She doesn't. 1 second.
But, like, when she was in that Kitson window, just she moved one mannequin and was like, oh, I'm a genius.
Yes. Anytime any of these housewives works, it's always like moving one flyer, one piece of paper. They're always like shuffling papers around as if they're working. And it's like space work.
And I love when they get mad at the reveal of their product because you can tell they've never seen it. And so they're like, well, this isn't how I thought this would go. And it's like, well, because you didn't have anything to do with it. But Dorit really made me laugh when, you know, the charcuterie's out. Now we're kind of having date night with Bubba and she's lifting her glass to do a toast. And she keeps like saying to PK, like, he's not listening. He's eating too much. He'd pop the champagne wrong, all this. And then she's like, I want to toast like us. It felt like she was going to say, and like you. And then she was like, I'd like to toast myself. It's just like, wow.
Bless that woman.
She is. I still maintain I wish they would show her talking more because we have this running thing with her of how much she talks. And I know she does, but I wish we would do that thing with the time lapse of her talking a little more.
We got a little bit of it at the Haitian dinner, right? The editors kind of let her go on. And then she caught herself, though. She was like, oh, but you guys don't want to hear the story. And literally expecting everyone to be like, no, go on. And crickets. They were like, please.
Crickets. No. Nobody. They're like, you're right. We don't. I've never seen it. Something like stopped so fast and being like, you're correct. And we're going to be moving on.
100%.
Nobody lifted a social finger, a lubricant to help her out. It was just like, yeah, dead. Back to PK really quickly, because you're right. I think it was explosively amazing for both a man that when you Google him, you will see some things.
Yeah.
Okay. You'll see some things in his past.
And to him. Admit. And he also admitted, like, I've been through bankruptcy. I've fucked over people before. Like, he basically is like, this is nothing. I've done some dirty shit. This is nothing.
Basically, but he was also like, but mind your P's and Q's while you are going down. He was like, tonally keep yourself together. Like, I love his quote, which was so, so disgusting. He's like, she needs to send the right message, and that's not with your legs open and stockings. Huh.
He's not. You know,
he's look, not wrong.
He's not wrong. I mean,
and I'm pro woman, but it's hard with the orphans and widows out there.
Here's the thing. You can open your legs, show your stockings. I don't care. But there's nothing else that you're showing us. So show us, you know, like show us that this is a travesty and not like hot shots of you. That's all I'm getting. And I'm realizing, okay, your business is being a hottie who prances around in lingerie. But that does, it's not a good look when there are people so hurt. They're vulnerable people that need this money so bad.
Although I heard what Dorit was saying, which is like, but, you know, for her to apologize is admitting wrongdoing. But then what PK is saying is true. It's like, she can say that it's horrible that these things happened, you know, because he was like, there's no chance they didn't.
And I love that he just came out and said, like, it's not what Tom, like, allegedly did. It's like, we know he did this. It's like, whether his mental state is in question, that's what's alleged. And then he's also like, which is also, like, deeply unlikely. It's like, he's seeing it very clearly and is the only one saying it. And I would not have expected that wisdom to come from.
And here's the other thing about his mental state. His mental state probably, I bet he's not in a great mental state right now. And I bet he has, and he's, you know, 80-something years old. He's not at the top of his game. Brains deteriorate. I believe all that. But he started this way.
I don't believe
brains
deteriorating. Don't believe it. Never did.
But I do believe he started this years before. I think he started this years before, so exactly. It doesn't matter. And he was,
doesn't matter.
And he was putting money into Erica's lifestyle, and she can't say she doesn't know where the money went. We know where the money went. It doesn't matter. I'm not saying it's her fault or that she knew, but now we know. We definitely know. For sure.
I turned on her when she, I think it was a few episodes ago, she continued to defend. Instead of saying, oh, Tom's wrong, she was like, well, his mental state is deteriorating. And I was like, oh, if she's sticking to that script, she knows more.
And she's defending him quite a bit in the margins. It's like she can't help herself. And she's got to stop. Like, she's always like, you don't say anything. That man will come for you. And it's like, I think Sutton is completely right. And while she can be annoying and all of this and that, she is a, like, after the fact whistleblower that I gotta say, I give it up to her. Because yes, is it disgusting that she thinks it's going to affect her and all that? But I think she's not wrong about what's going on when she's saying, like, she's lying to us. The timeline doesn't add up. Like, she's not wrong.
And it's Kyle pulling those strings back there. P.S. Kyle is the shitster of all shitstores. She thinks her clay hands are clean, but they're not clean at all. It's Kyle going, you need to tell her. You need to say it. And then when Sutton backs down, because it is terrifying to say to someone, everyone talks shit, you know, and acts a big game. But in front of them, you do it more delicately.
Especially when someone goes, look at me. Look at my life. And Eric is terrifying. Look at me. My life.
And her life is falling apart. So there is a gentle way to do this because she is on screen. She's the reason for the season. If you're not going to talk about it, get off our screens because we don't care. You got nothing else to offer us. No offense. But Erica has stopped offering anything for a long time now. And so, but it's Kyle going, talk about it, talk about it, talk about it, talk about it. Confront her. And Sutton was already starting to do it in a gentle way, as you do to somebody.
As you do when your friend's husband has stolen millions of dollars and funneled it into your bad acting singing career. Yeah.
Yes, there's a gentle way to do that. And Cal's like, no, you said it a lot harder behind her back. And it's like, well, that's for the reunion, bitch. Just let her do it. Like, Kyle's the shitster. I'm sorry.
That became so clear to me at the very tail end of this episode when they're all sitting around and some of them have left. And Crystal was like, there is no resolution. Right, there's no resolution between Sutton and Erica. It's fine, they're just not going to be friends. And you can just see on Kyle's face like that Crystal wasn't getting the assignment. It's like, no, Housewives is about confrontation and reconciliation.
You're so right, Zach, because I remember thinking, I've never heard anyone say that, like, we're done here, like, we can't go anywhere from here. I'm like, we have to go somewhere.
Exactly.
We can go lower. That's what I felt. We can go worse.
Yeah, and the look on Kyle's face of horror, like, no, yes. No, Crystal, that's not what we do here.
No, you're so right. Now, speaking of, not 3 hours ago, I picked up a salad to go from La Scala in Beverly Hills, and Crystal was sitting in the restaurant.
Wow,
I walked, easy. I brushed past her, and I really did almost say something, but it's like, I've got my mask on. It just felt, not that she would even recognize me, I didn't mean that. It just felt a little crazy to like go up to her table. And what would I say?
Nothing. Just, you know, you're beautiful. I think I would just say you're beautiful.
I slowed.
So I would ask her to throw a birthday party for me at her house at this point.
Learn, yeah, like, give me something.
She does two parties a week. Like, she's got to fill her roster up.
Yeah, like, I like Crystal. I don't know that I would bring her back necessarily.
Can we talk about Erica's, like, threatened monologue? The, like, then what? Then what? I'll come for you. That's not a threat. It's a promise. Like, that sort of, like, Robert De Niro version.
See, that to me is Tom. That's the Tom in her over time. To me, that's like, oh, you know when kids are like bratty and then you meet their parents and you're like, oh, I see why this kid's like this because his mom's like this or whatever. Mm-hmm. Or the dad. To me, that's like, oh, that's the Tom in her. She's heard Tom act like this every which way and feel entitled to speaking to people like this. And that's the Tom we don't know. And it comes out sideways with Erica.
But the reason Tom could do that in the past, this threat, I'm threatening, that's a promise, is because he had money and he had power and he had his name. And they've got none of that anymore. So why would anyone, Erica's a bitch, but she's nothing to fear because she doesn't have any of those things anymore. And she'll, you know what I mean? Like, what are you going to do? You're going to sue me for what? With what?
I thought it was so telling that when they showed the clip package of who Erica has like gone off on before, that it was Eileen and Teddy and Sutton. And we're not talking about the, like, the strongest ladies of them all there. So she picks a target, certainly. And it sort of feels in line with the targets that Tom has picked, just kind of like preying on the weak. So there's some similarities there that I think are quite... I think it's the writer in me. I have created this narrative in my head that I don't know that I believe, but if, let's just say, Erica knew day one what Tom, or from the beginning, what Tom was doing, and then willingly chose to go on a reality show to flaunt her wealth, and willingly put out singles like How Many Fucks Do I Give? And It's Expensive to Be Me, knowing where the money came from and knowing this day would someday come and that she would become an infamous icon. I mean, she was named after a soap opera star. It just feels very within her power to kind of be a comic book villain on that level. Do I think that is true? Probably not. But it's very entertaining to watch with that lens.
I think she didn't know and didn't care to know. But I do think that this... her getting out at this time, at this exact time, she knew what she was getting out of. She knew the minute she was getting out what she was trying to get out of. And she was trying to get out with some money and some dignity. And you can't.
I think she didn't know the depths and the specifics of what was happening, but she knew it started to get bad in the last few years and things are falling apart. And I agree with Sutton. He said, get out. And it was sort of a sham divorce. Now, I saw a tweet that really made me laugh, you guys. It was from an account called Teresa's Forehead, which is hurtful. As you know, many people have said my hairline resembles Teresa's, okay. Which is why I got bangs.
Not true.
And it says Tom's house got burglarized and he confronted the burglar. Then he had to have eye surgery. And then my son rolled his car 5 times and Tom had Alzheimer's and broke his ankle and was unconscious for 12 hours. And he cheated on me and I've never had an ATM. And what else, monotone bitch?
Oh, wow. God.
It is. She's leaning into the soap opera of it all very hard. Have you seen those clips of like Eileen crying on her soap operas and then Erica crying on the show?
No.
There's some startling similarities.
But it was this crazy footage of like Garcelle being like, keep it in. And she's like standing there with like one hand kind of like it's surreal. And look, do I think that there is an intense amount of pressure on Erica? Of course. Do I think she should be on TV? No. Do I also know that she's like, how am I also going to pay my bills? I have to be on TV. It's a deal with the fucking devil. I don't know how you get out of that.
As
man.
Sutton said, the devil always
comes. The devil always
comes. What did she say? He always comes calling or something.
Some Southern Augusta phrase or something.
Also, as our wise new sage PK said, like, rebrand. Like, maybe it's just a time. Like, don't stick in the same lane. Like, it's time for a brand new Erica. We're not getting
Yes, and that. He was right. Let's think long term. Like, because Dorit's like, well, she just needs to make. But he's like, she is thinking so kind of act locally. Let's think globally. Here, Erica.
And it's also, I don't know what she's thinking, this sort of like Angeline figure where like, is she going to be in lingerie when she's like 90 years old? Like, what is that? Like, you know what I mean? Like, we need to pivot in general. Like, what are we selling here? You know what I mean? Like, and I'm not even saying because of age. I'm just saying like, this is, it's just one note. Like, what are we going to pivot to?
And none of the notes smack of sympathy or regret or
and none of them are good singing notes either. Let's just be honest. They're not great singing notes. Auto-tune within an inch of its life.
It's interesting, like I feel like Crystal has jumped to Erica's side pretty quickly.
She just hates Sutton's. So. I don't yes. think okay. it's about yeah. I think it's anti-Sutton, not pro Erica.
Completely agree.
Personally.
Yeah. I also like I'm not a huge Sutton fan and I don't like siding with her, but I do think she has they should all be more concerned. Like these yes, they're friends, but they're coworkers. And the threats not the threats. The allegations against Tom and Erica are so beyond this is not like your run of the mill. This they're so dark and so deep. That like
That's
I think
so,
it's
they are so dark.
A rational question to be like, will this spill over on us as your friends slash coworkers?
But how could it legally spill over on them? Because like, because immediately that's what the girls in Salt Lake City like. I understand how it hurts. Like, why would you hang out with someone who obviously has no soul and no conscience? If you think that she did this on purpose. You know what I'm saying? Like, so if you think that Erica did this on purpose, how could you hang out with her? But if you don't think she did this on purpose, if you think that she got embroiled in something that was much bigger than herself and she is a victim on some level as well, like, why legally would you have any repercussions both in Salt Lake City and here? Like, why are they all worried legally? I would never be, I can't imagine that I'd be worried to hang out with someone who is in financial issues.
Well, that is Sutton's small town shit. That is. That piece of it is. However, I think Sutton's also just sounding the being the like alarm bell of like, hey, this is fucked up. No one else, everyone else seems to be like, we love you, Erica. We're good with this. But now, of course, we're reading that, you know, as I'm sure Erica turned on Kyle and Dorit from last night's episode. And then we're seeing like Mauricio and Dorit, they're all sitting down together and talking about it. But like the only person she's now speaking to is
Lisa.
Rinna in her pompadour lavender suit outfit. Pompadour. Rinna, Danielle, and I'm going to say something you share in common with Rinna. Can you guess what it is?
My love of her short bob hair.
Arriving 5 minutes early to a party. Every party, she's like having to go and speak with the staff. She's like, hello. And they're all looking at her like, get the fuck out of here. And when Kathy Hilton was just literally spoke my truth when she was like, the worst time to arrive when someone is frantically getting ready is 5 to 10 minutes before.
But Casey,
and Rinna is prompt as hell.
No, but can I say, I arrive early, but I wait in my car. I would have
but
waited.
You ring that bell. What I want to tell you, Danielle, is on time is early for a dinner party.
What I will tell you is that being on time is being late.
I'm on Casey's side on this one. I have to say, I'm sorry. I'm a prompt host, but it is a personal assault when someone shows up at your door and you're like still putting the little, you know, fluffing
things. No, because what I'm saying as the guest is I don't mind. I like to see the bones. I like to see the...
But the hostess doesn't want you to see how the sausage is made.
But I'm saying I'm here for the sausage. I don't care
how
it's made.
Rosh Hashanah, I was frantically getting ready. Like, when I tell you my... 6-year-old son and I are setting the table for 12, and I hear the doorbell ring. God love my in-laws. 55 minutes early.
55?
55. God, I love them.
I love them. Early, but they're your in-laws, so they can sort of come whenever they want as long as they'll entertain themselves.
It was so early, I actually was like, yeah, like, okay. I kind of accepted it. It was because even like 10 minutes early would have irked me almost more than 55.
Yeah, it's like you're so there to help and like babysit. Maybe there's like an actual intention to do something if you're there that early. I don't know if that actually happened.
No, they're the best. It was just a shock to hear that bell.
Of course. Now, I would also like to talk about Rinna and Garcelle and the awkwardness of that.
Oh my God.
Pat meal.
Honestly, that was almost more awkward than what's happening with Sutton and Eric.
They hate each other. Garcelle won't give Rinna anything. And so then Rinna is resentful. So she wanted her to say like a thank you text after they brought sauce, which she did not ask for. But Rinna's trying to kiss her ass to get back in her good graces. And so Rinna's like, well, where's my, it would have been nice if you text me. She's like, I thanked you in the moment, but I didn't ask for that.
It's insane. When someone drops off sauce to you, you say, oh my God, thank you so much. You don't follow up. Maybe you're like, I guess I'm eating it and I love it, but it is certainly not. It's like being like, where's my thank you card for your thank you card?
Exactly. And it's also like, I didn't ask you to do this.
And you're doing this because you know I hate you.
Yeah. So it's like, so you get what you get and you don't get upset. But Rinna never gets that message. It's like she always takes the low road of like.
And she wanted everyone to know about her good deed. And she was like, God damn it, it wasn't on camera.
Yes. Well, also, I think Garcelle got her saying, like, you didn't come to my defense when everyone was saying that I nitpick and all this. And Rinna's actual defense, she said in her testimonial later, like, oh, I didn't defend you because I think you're wrong. But she didn't say that in the moment, right? In the moment, she was just, like, grasping for anything and was like, well, you didn't send me a thank you. Which, like, Garcelle doesn't bite. Like, she's also just like, okay.
I love Garcelle because she does not back down. She does not apologize. She doesn't think she has to. And she's not afraid to ask the questions that people want it answered. Like, Garcelle is coming in strong this season, I think.
So I love Garcelle. I do find, I have to say, lately, I do think she's kind of a bit much in terms of her kind of, like, she'll go in on someone a little bit. Like, even Dorit being late and all these things. Like, I'm not saying Dorit isn't always late and annoying and this and that, but I do feel like if Garcelle senses it, like, she will say something sometimes that I'm like, did that need to be said?
Well, but what I like about Garcelle is I don't think that's put on. I think that's who Garcelle is. So I appreciate that it's authentic. You know how like you can feel when a housewife is not being authentic, like they're just doing it for some sort of drama? Garcelle's to me, I feel like she'd be asking this even if she wasn't on camera.
Yes. And case in point, Lisa showing up pretending, I guess, that she blacked out at the table. Like,
oh, please.
So, like, and asking for a report as if she was not sitting right next to Erica and Sutton. I was like, what happened at that dinner? It's like, you were sitting right
there. That was really weird.
I don't remember. It was like, you were sitting right there petting the dog, Lisa. You might have been a little buzzed, but you were not blackout drunk.
Absolutely. And people who get blackout drunk don't, like, there's a level of shame there. Like, she clearly has never blacked out because she just was putting it on. Yeah, like, so like, oh, this is what happened.
We've seen blackout drunk with Sonia Morgan. You know, like, we know what it looks like.
I will say Garcelle had my line of the night. If I were to ever be a housewife, this would be the chorus to my single. And it was another martini, but let's go light because the night is young and I am not.
Yes, I liked God that. Bless. I did like that. And she, look, I have such a love for Garcelle, but sometimes I'm like, she is shady.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
But that's why she's great on this show. And I think that's authentically, like, I think she's really fun and beautiful and a good friend. I do think all these things, but I think she she's not afraid to ask, like, where'd you get your money? Where'd you, like, she should.
Yeah, no, and I like that quality. I guess in the last few episodes, I'm like, oh, wow, she's asking some pointed things. And some of them I'm like, should that be let go? Now, I will say, I do appreciate this odd friendship between Garcelle and Sutton.
It's so weird. It's so strange to me.
They have clicked. They have connected. And they are like, we've got each other's back. And to their credit, they're both the ones that think Erica's full of shit. So it makes sense.
Yes, that is true.
It does smack to me of like, I don't know if you watch any like reality shows where they vote each other out, but it's like, oh, there's a core alliance here. And like Garcelle and Sutton aren't in it. So like they're forced to kind of band together like out of convenience. And I will not be surprised if a year from now the two of them have some horrific falling out. There doesn't seem to be some deep roots between
no, I don't see like a lot of like Sutton. I know, I do think Sutton strangely has become this voice of reason this year, but she's such an asshole in every other way that like her, you know, she just isn't that deep. Her driving around and like buying fancy crystals and going to auction, like
that scene. Oh my God, you guys, when that door opened in her face, I'm like, that's how Sutton moves through the world. Doors just like clumsily opening in her face.
I literally wrote that down. That is Sutton's entire personality. Door to a luxury
that's
store.
That's who she is. Yes.
That is who she is.
And being like, oh, sorry. I have to say, like, I love the wish fulfillment. You know, I love when they have money. We all love to see it, you know, the gaudiness and all of it. But something turned my stomach about seeing Kyle and Sutton at Bonham's or wherever it was, like being like, you can get these things early and I'm on the auction list and let's each buy cocktail rings for $2,000. I was like, Sutton, there's something so gross to me about her spending and Kyle's sometimes where I'm like, I'm happy for you. You have all this, there's just something about it. And also Dorit eating caviar while like talking about the victims with Erica. Again, I'm not saying these people shouldn't do it. It's just something about it last night, kind of like when they were having caviar pie, I was like, bleh.
Well, even, and this is a little different, but seeing Erica, and again, I'm not saying that Erica needs to dress conservatively, but to wear a t-shirt and like garters, like with no pants, it's just like, I guess it's like your life is so exposed right now. Like, what are you doing?
It's bold.
And I'm not trying to like.
It just felt a little off.
It did. It felt off. And I'm not trying to like shame her or whatever.
No, because, we know
like,
what you mean. It was off. It was strange.
Odd, right? Like, I'm just like, and I'm all in to see all of their bodies. And believe me, I know I should show more of my, people are always telling me, get. Let's all get our bodies to the people. And I believe that. But I don't know. It was like a weird, it was just like a dinner with them. And like, what are we wearing? Also, how is she affording this squad of makeup people? Because this is not, like, I'm saving my money. I don't know.
Also, her little two-bedroom tiny house that's like a $3 million house in Hancock Park.
Oh,
but she's
sure.
Not slumming it by any means. Yeah,
now I do want Kathy to serve me in her home. That was next level service. I love seeing the staff, and it made me laugh so hard when Kyle, and I swear to God, the second time she did it, it was not a joke. When she said, I think it was Patrick, mm-hmm. The gentleman that seems to have worked with Kathy for some time in the home, when she said, I'm Mrs. Hilton's sister, I'm like, why are you calling your sister Mrs. Hilton? But I think Kathy likes that, right? Like the Countess.
I would like to see a Downton Abbey reboot of like Hilton Manor with Patrick, like yes! An upstairs, downstairs in the Hilton's house. I think nothing
you
would
guys,
make me happier.
I would love it.
If Kathy Hilton lost her money, we would see such a wackadoo.
We'd see Sonya Morgan.
This mansion. Like we would see, yeah, so, but even wilder. Like it would be so Grey Gardens in a way because. Sonia is such like a wild cuckoo, like, but she, but Kathy would just like, I don't know, I not that I want her to lose her money, but what a
seems
wild
like
thing that would be to watch her sort of lose it in this mansion. I couldn't stop watching that.
That'd be amazing. Yeah, I did think a lot, like, oh, this is the life Sonia Morgan in her mind is living in. Like, this is the life Sonia Morgan intended for herself that Miss Kathy Hilton has. Sonia Morgan cannot bring back for herself.
Guys, should we take a little break and come back with Potomac?
We're back, guys. Potomac. I mean...
Now, I don't know if you caught in the little, like, coming up this season, there was a clip of who I believe to be Macy Gray singing at Karen and Ray's.
Yes, of course.
So now I would like to pose this question. Do we think that Robin's Macy's order, is that what she was referring to? Was it just Macy Gray?
She hasn't called Macy back.
I have a few, much like Max and TJ Maxx, I think this is what happened for Robin.
What, that 100%. You know, it made me feel quite sad when Robin was on the phone with the life coach, because I do actually think Robin does need a therapist. Mm-hmm. I'd love to just put Robin on just like a basic antidepressant and see where we get.
Yeah, I mean, you could just get like 0.5 of Lexapro. You'll be great.
It's just a little something, Robin. Just get her off the bottom and then life coach away.
I fully expected when she was calling the life coach to hear the voice of one Teddy Mellencamp come through for her life, for her accountability services.
No, Teddy is just like, don't eat anything except for a leaf of lettuce. You're accountable to me. And show me a picture of that lettuce and show me you burning your calories. That is not a life coach. That is a starvation coach. No, thank you.
You are correct.
Yes, Danielle.
And again, allegedly, but that's what her life coach seems to be from what I can tell.
Although, I was kind of like, I want to call this woman.
I want to call Robin's son. Poor, like, why is she talking?
Tough to be like on the couch with your mom just being like, I don't know.
I need a life coach. When I know it's like, as a child, I think as parents, I do think we shouldn't necessarily be like burdening our children with like, mom's a mess.
That said, they know, like, my kids see that I'm a mess, but like, I don't need to say it. You
they
know?
Need to know that I, like, even I'm pretending, because believe me, I have been in a car where I'm like, I don't know where I'm going. And I'm like, mommy's fine. I know exactly where I'm going. I'm not saying that my daughter doesn't sense issues. I'm just saying, like, I don't want to have to turn to her and be like, Sydney, mom's getting a life coach. Like, I don't know what's happening. Like, I just don't want to be in that position to have to, like, say that to her.
Sure, sure.
Can we talk about Ashley and what's going on with her and Michael, and the things that were said to each other from Ashley, like the fact that it makes me so gross that Ashley she's like, and you know, I just don't have any time between you. My kid is having a latching problem, which I know about, and that is hell on earth when your child's having a latching problem. And when you also have another child under two, and she's like, and now because of it, it's just, I don't have tough time for my husband. It's like, and yes, he should fucking understand that you don't have time to fuck him or hang out with him right now. You got two fucking kids. Like, of course, like, why isn't the husband more? I mean, Michael's a piece of shit, but I hate that she feels she needs to cater to him and get the latching under control so that she has more time to, like, fuck her husband. Like, I hate him.
I know. I'm turning on her in that regard, too. I'm just like, stand up for yourself. Get the fuck out of this. You must like this guy. Like, I know I'm going to fucking hear about it. Like, he's got her under, like, all this. But I'm just like, in the car when he literally said, you are quickly losing weight, which is good for me. You aren't overweight in any way, shape, and form. So I'm looking forward to that. And I can't do that accent, but I was just like, oh, he's literally disgusting.
I was furious at that moment. He's like, yeah, get back in shape quickly. Like, I was furious. Furious.
All the questions he was asking that poor lactation consultant. That was insane.
Is that why it was included? Because as a person who has not had children, I was wondering why we needed to be with Ashley at her lactation. Was this worthy of
potential? I think producers are just like, anytime Michael and Ashley are together, we need to see like how horrible he can be in all different elements.
But it
made me really ill.
Ill. It made me so angry. I'm like, well, I don't understand. He doesn't have money. He's not good to her. What is the appeal of this fucking man?
I think he does have some money. I don't think it's like millions and millions and millions, but I think he has something.
But
I
so
don't
does
know
she.
What.
She's making money off of Real Housewives of Potomac.
You'd think she would have bailed by now, maybe, right? Because this should have been her lily pad to get out. But I guess maybe she's waiting for the kids. I don't. That apartment that they have, that it reminds me every time of like a Delta lounge at an airport. Like, it just does not look like a home.
Honestly, no truer words on this podcast have been spoke.
Oh,
it
wow.
is a Delta lounge.
It truly is.
It really, nothing makes me sadder than when we settle on in there with Ashley on the birthing ball. And Oh,
it has the, like that, like the paint on the walls. It just it's up in the sky.
The yeah. mirror that like the windows, like the view. Like I'm just
and when she unfurls the yoga mat, like right there where the coffee table is. It's not about it being small. It's just the energy. You can just feel it, Michael, permeating.
And it doesn't have comforting energy, like a place where you want to bring up two young children. Like it doesn't have warm. It's very cold. It's very mirrored.
Are they young children or are they the spirit of elders reincarnated into human bodies? Because I don't want to like children.
Oh my God. You are so right. After that horrible car ride, when they just like cut to the baby, I know everyone, I'm going to hear it again, guys, but then just don't listen if you don't like this. But I was like, you're right. It felt like an older person.
Yes, there's an old soul residing in those babies. Yes. I believe.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, when I saw Giselle and Robin sit down to do a podcast, I was like, does everybody fucking have to have a podcast? The world doesn't need to hear from everyone. We don't. And I know we have one, Danielle. Like it.
Not the best ad for Reasonably Shady. Not really. Like, I mean, a direct quote, I wrote it down. Robin literally said, quote unquote, people are humans. Like, this is not the cutting commentary from Potomac's Poet Laureate. Like, we do not need this from either of them.
Also, they're talking about, like, cheating men, and it's like both of them are, on some level, experts. But the way that Giselle is so high on her horse and holier than thou with that whole Jamal thing, the fact that she went back to Jamal after he cheated on her so much and he's bad for her kids, and, like, even they're like, mom, do not be with this person.
Our dad,
like, why do we just can't take anything she says in terms of relationship with any sort of gravitas.
Well, then I did like that they both, as though someone was saying, like, and then we went and got a coffee, and the way they both agreed when Giselle was like, I mean, it's one thing if, you know, someone goes out of town and the strippers come in and you have a night, and Robin was like, exactly, yes, that's one thing. I was like, wow, God bless, you know?
At least we know.
It's like those men should be happy to have them. What my husband would give.
But also both, especially with Giselle, like, that wasn't the case. Like, he cheated on her left and right and had children. And
now, I sent this to you, Danielle, but Pastor Jamal Bryant spoke at Greg Leakes's Celebration of Life. It's a real crossover moment.
A real crossover moment.
People in Atlanta, as Akilah said, they're wild for Jamal. I guess maybe you just don't want to be with him as partner.
No, but if you need him to, you know, be there for a wedding or a funeral or a baby.
Or to buy you a restaurant for your birthday. He's
how is that restaurant doing? Do we know how that restaurant's doing?
Great question. Can someone in Atlanta drive
anyone
by?
Anyone tell us how we're doing for the girls' sake? But I will say, those girls are smart. Those girls are funny. Those girls are onto both of their parents. They were like, wait, why do we have a restaurant? Like, even they were like,
yep. Why do we have a franchise?
Like, this is so stupid. Like, even they were like, what the fuck? Like, we shouldn't have a franchise. What are you doing, Dad? Like,
guys, Candace is so, oh my God. When she was, it did make me laugh, when she was sitting with Chris and telling him about, like, kind of, and Chris was answering his own kind of rebuttal to Candace telling Chris that Giselle said he was riding Candace's coattails. And he was kind of explaining why he wasn't. Did you guys remember the look on Candace's face when she had her eyes closed and she was like, I can't do it. You have to. Just so pleased and happy with his response. I was crying laughing. And why is she so savage to Ashley in terms of her body, calling her forehead and titty milk? And it's just wild.
When she said, this filthy milkmaid, I burst. Like,
the stuff? When she said, I don't have to body shame you. You walking into a room is body shaming yourself.
That is a tough thing to say to a new mother.
It's so fucking mean. It's so mean. Because Ashley she doesn't like Ashley. She doesn't like Michael. But Ashley's also representing the thing that Candace wants, which is kids. And there's something incredibly triggering about Ashley for Candace.
And I also think she wasn't even mad at Ashley right then. She was mad at Chris. She was
there's something going on that has nothing to do with Ashley. And I think Ashley rolls with it pretty well.
Yeah,
I would literally jump across the table. Truly, I would do what Monique did to Candace, only I would be successful.
And also just woman to woman to body shame anyone in this day and age. Like, what the fuck are we doing here? Like, it's such a low, it's such a move that doesn't even make sense because it makes no sense. It's wrong. You're not going to get anyone on your side. And you're also, it's so base. It's so stupid. It's not true. And I just, it makes me angry in a way because it's like I was really starting to like Candace this season.
Exactly.
And then she can't stay in that light long enough.
She'll hit a high and then she'll just come crashing.
She'll hit a high note. Barely. Just barely.
I am also truly worried for her eyes. The amount of things she sticks into her eyes. That napkin was not, it was a sword-like napkin. Those restaurant napkins
felt like an act of self-harm. Like she was jamming that napkin corner into her eyes.
She got the whole thing in there. It like disappeared like a magician's trick.
I was like, Candace, it was like when I talked to my daughter, when I'm like, take that out of your mouth. Like, that's what I was saying to Candace. I'm like, that's dangerous. You don't put things in your eyes. Don't put things in your eyes, Candace.
Especially in the time of COVID. Let's not be jamming public napkins in our eyes.
And those, again, these are not soft things. She's formatting them into a point so that they are tough, getting into a very sensitive area, which is the tear duct. Like, I'm worried. She's going to stick the wrong thing in her eye, and we're going to have a problem.
Never seen you so worked up. You're really upset.
I am.
Yeah, it is upsetting to see. Speaking of upsetting to see, I sent you a photo last night, Danielle, yes, of me hysterically crying genuinely, of course, over Mia's lunch with her mom.
That was heartbreaking.
I thought it was heartbreaking. I really like Mia. Mia's been through a lot. I find her harmless and sweet at her core. I mean, yeah, I guess she said some things people don't. I don't know what it is, but I genuinely like her. And seeing the way, I thought she was very gracious to her mother.
She was.
Given everything that's happened. And when I heard she was burned as a kid, I was like, this is horrible.
That burn story. Like, to know what
it's horrible. What happened
to her in general and then the burn story on top of it, I was like, oh my fucking God.
And brave of them both to put it on the show. It didn't feel really tested. Yes. Like, it felt kind of genuinely like, oh, we're going to do this on camera.
And one of the, like, few, I feel like, moments we've had where maybe being on camera was helpful for a relationship. Or it did feel there was, like, a little bit of healing. Like, I just, wow. Like, when her mom said that she tried to, like, commit suicide, I was just like, this is devastating. Like, what Mia's been through as a child. Like, I just really, like, I don't know. I connect with Mia and I just feel really badly for her. And I thought, wow, she's a big person that she's still giving her mom a lot of like good energy and positivity and wanting to move forward. And makes me so sad. Last thing. I'm sorry. I'm so upset. But that she calls her mom mommy. Because to me, it's like that's little Mia like still wanting that mom that she didn't totally get that full realized relationship. And that's why to me, Mia is very childlike.
In case you're truly crying right now.
It's horrible. Like thinking of her making oatmeal and like getting burned. I was like, this is truly like horrible. I'm sorry, guys. It just really affected me. I was like, this is horrible that she's just at home alone making her oatmeal and gets burned all over her body. I'm like, that's.
But she's turned into a beautiful mother herself, it seems.
She has. She really has.
She really
and chiropractic center owner.
Yes.
Franchise owner.
But I was glad I saw that scene because I got, you know, we saw so much of her pain on the screen. Like sometimes all we need with these housewives, and Mia has always been sort of like humanized to me, you know, like some of them are obviously some of our women. Ramona is never going to be a human to me. But you know, seeing sort of the source of their pain and them putting it out there like that is so vulnerable. And it's so tough to watch, but also beautiful and helpful to see them try and heal themselves.
And it admirable makes... when, like, you see Mia and you're like, oh, she is a nice person. She is a good mom. Unlike Ramona, it's like, oh, I see and I can feel for you in this moment what you've gone through as a child. But then 2 seconds later, I turn around and you're doing something so harmful.
Yeah. Ramona is such the epitome of hurt people hurt people, you know what I mean, in that way. And she just can't heal from her formidable wounds or whatever. But yeah, it's just...
Yeah.
In my entire career watching Housewives, I've never had to like turn off an episode, and that happened for me with Ramona in New York at the Black Shabbat. It was just so many layers of unwatchable.
This is a beautiful transition into New York. P.S.
Fantastic. Excellent. But it's so... Never has the show been like so grating that it's unwatchable, and that's the territory.
I turned it off too. I didn't see the end of it. I couldn't watch
it. It's fine when it's a snooze, but when it's like that hard to watch, that's what makes me worried for our New York mothership. I believe they'll turn it around, but that was
Bravo actually, or Andy, someone came out and said like they've taken this time and they are literally regrouping on the show. Like they're not filming now. They're figuring out, I think, where we're going to go from here.
Yeah, we need I don't know that we can continue with someone like Ramona unless we have someone that it is like a Bethany, you know what I mean? And not that, you know, Ebony can't be a Bethany. Her personality is not as grating as Bethany's. And we need someone, I don't know where we go from here with New York. Not that we don't have, you know, the reunion, not the reunion, we haven't had the reunion, but the finale was fine. You know, it wasn't like a shit show like has been earlier in the season with the Ramona of it all. They're still, you know, they're in the Hamptons. It's Valentine's Day. They're all imitating each other, you know,
The identity swap was cute enough. Like it was the most fun we've had all season at the very least. And I wouldn't mind identity swap becoming like a trope across other franchises. I thought it was fun. I do too. I know the whole like conceit was that Luann had set this up, but whatever producer assigned Luann to be Ebony after Diana Rossgate is a savage. And that Luann got out of that unscathed is a miracle, because I could have gotten so wrong.
Yeah.
So very wrong. Oh, yeah. I'll be interested. Do you guys have anything else about New York?
The only thing I wrote down was when Ebony called Harry Dubin, quote unquote, community dick. I thought that was excellent. It felt like that would be like in the fall lineup for like an ABC sitcom, like Community Dick.
And then he's a detective too. He's a detective, but he also gets around. Exactly. I like that. So I'm going to write it up, guys. I have a pitch.
And his last name is Community. Like it's always every part of the title is used.
Exactly.
Oh, wow, guys. I mean, I think we have to wrap it up, you know?
But
is there anything else? We have so much to look forward to.
I'm excited for the Beverly Hills reunion. I don't know when it's coming up, but I know Andy like posted that he was hosting it like tonight as we speak. Like I said, it's in the air. The reunion for New York is in the air. Everything's in the air. Salt Lake City's in the air. We have some really beautiful stuff ahead of us. We have Potomac, you know, just ramping up for the second part of the season. We're in the fall season, but we're in the spring of our lives in terms of the Real Housewives.
I like that, Danielle.
Thank you. Sometimes I come up with a good
Wonderful. You really did. Zach, before I let you go, tell us quickly like about your book, where we can find it.
100%.
Tell us everything. Major Detours.
Yes, Major Detours. It is my debut novel. It's a young adult novel. And you can buy it wherever bookstores are sold. Barnes & Noble, Amazon, take your pick. It's a mass release. So it's kind of a young adult novel about a group of teens who are like nerdy and queer and cool. And they go on this road trip that turns into a scavenger hunt. To complete tarot deck. So it's kind of spooky for Halloween. It's got some spiritual stuff going on. And if you know a lot about the tarot, there's a lot of deep kind of mythology stuff there. If you know nothing about tarot, I kind of lay out a kind of simple way to learn how. So yeah, so that's the cool thing. And then it's also interactive, which I could talk about forever. But the short thing is that if you've ever read one of those Choose Your Own Adventure novels or the Goosebumps Choose Your Own Scare back in the day, it is sort of like that, but all grown up. So it's really like reading a novel. So you read it front to back. You're always making choices that bring you forward. And a lot of the choices have more to do with kind of spirituality and philosophy and character building than they do affecting the plot.
I love that. Major Detours. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
That's so wonderful. So wonderful. Thank you for being here. And where can we find you on social media?
Yeah. On Twitter, it's just Zachary Sergi, S-E-R-G-I. And then on Instagram, it's Zachary Sergi Writer. And I cannot thank you both enough for having me on. It's truly like the book coming out this week was number 2 to to literally be on this podcast.
Stop.
So happy to have you. And I'll never, ever, as long as I live, forget you saying that Ashley's apartment looks like a Delta lounge.
You won't be able to unsee it, I promise.
Beautiful. Poetry.
Before we wrap up, I just want to say I've been thinking about any of you that have been affected by the recent hurricanes. I really have been thinking of you all, and I hope everyone in this community is safe and sound.
Yes.
And my last little plug would be to this. If you live in the state of California, please vote no on the gubernatorial recall of Governor Newsom. It's the state has a very large chance of going red. Ballots must be postmarked by September 14th, or you can vote in person. And I just wanted to throw that out there to everyone. Every vote will count, and vote no on the recall. It's my personal opinion, but you know what? It's my podcast, so I'm just going to throw that out there. But please vote if you live in California.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Zachary Sergi. Thank you to Caitlin, our editor, to Renee, our producer, to you, Danielle.
Yes. Oh, I'd like to thank... Oh, sorry. I'd like to thank my daughter, who's waiting for me to pick her up.